In the last 60 seconds, it is thought 2 million searches have happened on Google. 100 hours of YouTube video were uploaded. 571 websites were created. 278,000 tweets happened on Twitter. 104,000 photos were shared on Snapchat. And 204 million emails were sent. All in the last 60 seconds. And the world that we live in is moving so quick. It's so rapid. And social media is really at the forefront of all of that. Social media, which is really instant communication with others online, is a massive industry and has grown to levels that nobody would ever have thought of 20 years ago, whenever they used the old 56 meg internet connections. And here are a few of the more common social media sites. YouTube, it's a video share site, and it has 1 billion unique visitors each month, and a whole range of other things. Facebook, it's one of the most common here in Northern Ireland and around the world. It has 1.18 billion users. One in seven humans in our world use Facebook, and it's used as a way of connecting with old and with new friends. And it was recently set up in a college in the US as a way of finding women. Linking on from the women, here's one called Pinterest, and it's a way of sharing a lot of our creations and thoughts and ideas, and it's usually used by women, although I'm sure some men use it as well. Twitter. It's a shorter form of communication where it's limited 140 characters, and the photo is all that you're allowed. However, 500 million tweets are sent each day, and it's often how the news is shared with the wider world. Instagram is a way of sharing photos with friends, and it has 75 million users, and there's 55 million photos on each day. And a New York one called Snapchat, it's used with a younger generation, and it is valued at $4 billion. And something I heard is that 20% of teenagers who use it have either sent a nude or a semi-nude selfie. It's the reality of the world that we live in, and there's no hiding away from it. We as Christians are living in a generation such as this. And it's an unending world of social media as well. And if you're here and if you have a smartphone, you have access to that whole world as long as you have our Wi-Fi code here. And in the last week in the UK, a quarter of all Facebook users logged in and looked at the Facebook at least 5 times each day, spending an average 6 hours a week on Facebook. And as we explore a little more, let me say that I love technology. I love smartphones, I love iPads, I love the internet, and I enjoy the world of social media. And if you want, you can find me on nearly all of the social media sites, although I'm not worth following really at all. And the lie that we're looking at here is the lie that social media will somehow satisfy us and that will bring us satisfaction. It's a lie that if you have a certain number of friends on Facebook, or a certain number of followers on Twitter, or a certain number of likes on a comment or on photo, then you will be happy and you'll have made it. And the lie that many of us have fallen as we look at ourselves and as we look at others around us, we all walk around looking at our phones, and I'm one of them. So as I share what I'll share, I really have to look at my life as well. And social media is not either a good or a bad thing. Although, as with all human inventions, as we heard from Adam, it can either be used for good or for ill. And recently, I'm sure all of us who were on Facebook seen all of the selfies which raised money for the breast cancer charity, and that's a really good thing that happened. Although having a whole host of selfies on my news feed wasn't what I was hoping for. Although it raised millions of pounds. And as we as Christians live in a world which is consumed with social media, we need to come to it with a certain element of caution and awareness. In the same way, so as we come to the wider media, we need to look at it through the lens of the gospel. As one really helpful commentator on social media has said, it's hard to tell when fondness for an activity ends up as a tendency and crosses the line into a damaging habit or addiction. And for many of you here, I'm sure it hasn't crossed that line. I'm sure it isn't a damaging habit. Although for some of your friends or family, it maybe is, and we need to just have an awareness of it. So a question I had is, why is social media so popular? Why in the last 8 or 9 years since 2004 has it risen dramatically? Why are 1 in 7 humans in our world on Facebook? Why are 97% of 20 to 35 year olds on social media? What is the itch that it is scratching in our lives? And as we look at it, we need to look at it through the lens of God's word, and that will help us know why it's happening and what is happening. And the first reason I feel, and I'm sure that there are many other reasons I have in here as well, is that we are all made for community, and the online community allows that to happen so easily. So let's look at what happened in Genesis, and a lot of what we see in our world can't actually be traced back into the first 3 chapters of Genesis. And as we read in Genesis 1 and 2, God created a world and he created Adam in the Garden of Eden, and it was good. And what was really then interesting is in Genesis 2, verse 18 says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." So Adam is here, made in the image of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is in a community and is happy and is loving and is satisfied in who he is as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as Adam is made in that image, he is made for community with others. And it's then not good for him to be alone. And all of the rest of the animals and creation wasn't right for that sense of community. So God created Eve so Adam could have community, not only with God, but also with other humans. And as we look right throughout the rest of scriptures, we see a whole range of examples where people needed to be in community with others. And as we look in and as we read the New Testament as well, we see lots and lots of the one another's of actually showing us not only how we should have community, but actually how we should live in that community with others. And God gave us the church, which is where Christians can have community with one another as well. So we were made for community, and social media offers us a sense of that. And here are some of the positives of social media for offering us that. So it's an easy way to communicate and to organize things with a large group. It's a way of enhancing some real life relationships and to get to know others quicker and in a deeper way. And it allows increased communications with old friends, especially who are far away. And it allows us a chance to communicate with those who we know, and even some who we haven't even met in real life. And it offers us a way to find acceptance and significance and security, and maybe even love as well. And we feel really good whenever somebody asks us, will you be my Facebook friend? And we feel really good whenever somebody retweets one of our tweets on Twitter. It's happened to me once, so I felt great when it happened. We can find some level of love and acceptance and security, and it's not wrong. My question, however, is, will that level of community really satisfy us? Is it satisfying those who are currently using it? Will another friend request, another comment, another photo really satisfy what we're longing for? Will any community or relationship really satisfy unless it's community with our Creator God? My suggestion to you is that we will not find true satisfaction anywhere else in this life except in our relationship with God. And as we heard in the first of our 3 weeks in this series, God made us with eternity in our hearts, and we yearn for something more than what this world offers, even more than what the virtual world offers us, and our hearts are restless until we find that. So social media has many positives. However, as we're sharing on some of the positives, it's also wise that we look at some of the negatives or some of the dangers as well that we should maybe look out for. In a world where we seem to be more connected than others, here's some of the negatives as I've asked others. And the first one is social media offers a medium for bullying. And in a conversation I had on Friday with Ross, he was just saying how Ask FM and Snapchat Snapchat, another social media means it happens 24/7. So for a young lad or for a young girl in school, there is no relief from when others say not things or sin, not things. It's constant and it's massive. Second, there's a danger that we can withdraw from the real world and live a virtual life, which maybe isn't even a true reflection of who we really are either. And some recent surveys have shown that social media is actually making us feel more lonely, worried and isolated, coining the phrase the anti-social media revolution. Thirdly, it leads to a lot of jealousy and envy, as if we look at somebody else's wall on their Facebook page, it's always somebody looking really good or saying how great they are or how great a weekend they have had or how great their work is or how great they are. Usually it's a way that we can share how great we are. And then as I read it, I'm just saying, you know, I don't feel like that. I mean, I feel pretty hopeless sometimes. I feel pretty rubbish. And it can just spiral some of those feelings. And then fourthly, it's so easy for us to sin on social media, as it is anywhere in the world. And a really interesting fact was that 1 in 3 divorces now mention Facebook in their trials in court. It allows affairs, lust, and wrong relationships, which seem just to be happening so much more quickly as you've got instant access and the easier way of communicating with others around us. So we need to be careful who we are on Facebook with, and always check our hearts as well. And then lastly, we can waste an awful lot of time on social media as well, and it could be spent elsewhere. So some of the positives and some of the negatives of it. And I'm not saying it's wrong. Hear me here. I'm not saying we should all end our social media lives, but I'm saying that we need to be really careful as we engage. So that was our first reason about why it's so popular. And we've sort of looked at some of the second reason as well. And it's also found in Genesis, and it is that we want to be our own God, and the online world allows that. And as we look in the narrative in Genesis as well, Adam and Eve are experiencing good community with each other and with God, and they're exercising their dominion over the rest of creation. However, as we then look into Genesis 3, and we see in verse 5 what happens as Satan comes, and here's what he says. Here's the great temptation. For God knows that when you eat from the tree of life, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And here's an offer that Adam and Eve cannot refuse, and it's to be like God. And for many of us as well, it's an offer that we can't refuse, as we are upborn in our sins and we learn and we yearn to live life our ways and to control our lives and also the lives of others as well. And we also like to make a judgment over others' lives as well. It was an offer that Adam and Eve said, yes, I want that. although it was a lie. And it led to a broken relationship with God and with each other. And if you look at our yearning for community and our yearning to be our own God, and when you combine it, it can so easily railroad in the social media world, as we can act like a little God in our own little world. Whenever we log on to Facebook, we can see what's going on in others' lives, and we can see what's happening in many locations at once. And we can choose who our friends are, and we can choose what comes up in our news. We are in total control over our Facebook wall, and we are in control over what we say of ourselves and what sort of photos we show of ourselves, and we can make a call on what we feel is right or wrong. And as we look at our screen on our laptops, we're in control of that world, and I think that's why we love it. Your Facebook revolves around you. And on your way out, there's a really helpful his book called Will You Be My Facebook Friend? It's written by an author called Tim Chester, and he looks at that aspect of it in a lot more detail. So if you would like one on your way out and to read up slightly more, he has it all in there. So let me say, social media is not good or it's not is bad. What I'm saying is there's something very powerful and very addictive in our lives that maybe isn't great for all of us, maybe isn't healthy, so we need to just be careful. However, as we understand more of it, we can then engage with it more and use it for good. So, how can Facebook act as a friend rather than a foe? How can we live in the world of social media and not allow it to consume us? And it's the same question of how can we live in the world of money and of sport and of family and of careers and not allow those other things to consume us as well? In Romans 12, a lot of you will know it, Paul urges us not to conform to the world around us, not to be squeezed into its mould, and through the renewing of our minds to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. So he's saying here, do not conform. However, in the first few words of it, he actually urges us, in view of God's mercy. And here's, as I say it, a key to how we relate to the world around us. We can't simply say no or yes, because that's legalism, and that leads to pride. We need to say yes to something greater, and that is the mercy and grace of Christ. It's what Romans 1 through to 11 shares. It's what the whole of the revelation of Scripture shares. And as we look for love and security and acceptance and significance in our online and virtual world, the good news, the greatest news in the world for you tonight, is that we can find all of that in Christ, in the mercies of God. And we don't need to try to find it in what others offer us online or in real relationships, because we find that in Christ. Your search can be over, your longings can be satisfied, your significance can be found in Christ. And here are a few verses that we used with our youth last year, just sharing who we now are in Christ if we are a follower. And it says, I am significant. I think this is the right one. So, it should say, I am secure. I am no longer worthless, inadequate, helpless, or hopeless. In Christ, God says, I am a temple of God, where God's Holy Spirit lives, 1 Corinthians 3. I am God's workmanship, created for good works, Ephesians 2:10. I may approach God with freedom and confidence, Ephesians 3:12. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. I am part of God's family, and I have a role to play, 1 Corinthians 12:27. That's good news, isn't it? Next, you are accepted. After the heading's wrong on the slides here, but it says, I am no longer guilty, unprotected, alone, or abandoned. In Christ, God says, I am totally secure. I'm free from any guilty charges against me from God. Romans 8:31 to 34. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I'm sure that the good work God has begun in me will be perfected. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm a child of God, and I'm safe from any evil. This is all good news, and it's who we are in Christ. And then lastly, you are accepted. I am accepted. I am God's child. I am Jesus' chosen friend. I'm a saint, a holy person, and I have been forgiven for all the things that I have done wrong. And as we grow to understand those truths and realities more and more, we are then freed up to engage with the world of social media and with the wider world around us without allowing it to consume us. And we can finally use Facebook as our friend rather than our foe. So, last slide. I'll leak out that one. Last week we had an acrostic which really helped us as we left. So I felt under pressure to have one this week as well. So mine is social, and the S is satisfy yourself with Christ. It's the foundation of all that follows. O, only post what is helpful. Ask is what I'm writing or showing here. Good for others and for building them up. Is it showing God's glory and His fame, or is it showing my glory and my fame? See, consider how you use social media for gospel. Good. There's a whole range of videos which will help you share your faith online. Hamilton Road have a Facebook and a Twitter sharing what's happening here. Maybe you could not only like it, but actually share it with your friends as well. And share what happens here with your friends who are connected with you in the online world. Share your faith, share verses. I introduced social media fasting, and it will just really allow you to not have the constant flow of information coming at you. It could maybe be once a week or once a month or longer or short, but show yourself and show others that you're not consumed in this world. Allow social media to enhance real life relationships. This is really key. It's really a great way of knowing more of what's happening in each other's lives, but don't let that replace your real life relationships. If you're having an online conversation rather than actually seeing a friend for a coffee or whatever, ask yourself, what are you doing? We're here with real interactions and real relationships with others, and only ever allow social media to enhance it. And then love others on social media. We are called to be salt and light in the world, and I ask that you would see how you can live life out. I have much more. If you have any questions, later, if you're worried over your children or your grandchildren or yourself, grab me after. We have a short video and then one final song. So, thank you.